This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
They all a number of references. What I've decided to do is to point the references to you first, without much comment about them. If I quote the references first, then when we come to the body of the shiur, it won't be so difficult to keep it all in mind. Now, the first reference I'm starting with is, as might have been expected, a verse from that portion of the Torah which we read this last week, where it says, Bonim atem l'Adonai Eloheichem, you are children to Hashem your God. Hashem is addressing the people of Israel. And he says to them, you are children to Hashem your God. You shall not make cuts in your flesh, nor shall you make bald patches on your head. It seems that it was done amongst non-Jews, amongst Gentiles, that when they went through a traumatic experience and being distraught, they would cut their flesh and they would pull out their hair. And that is strictly forbidden according to Jewish law. And for every cut one makes in one's flesh, one is responsible. And then less than 100 years ago, in the University of Heidelberg in Germany, the students used to have cuts in their cheeks, made at least one cut in one cheek, and that was a sign of manliness to show that they'd been through a duel in the course of their life. They never had been through a duel. They were too cowardly for that. But that is what they did. Now, we've got a strict law against that. And the important thing that I want to bring to your notice is the comment of Rashi on it. And Rashi says as follows. One is not allowed to cut any part of your body or to tattoo your body. Because you are children to the Almighty, the atem ru'uyim liya yosnoim, you should be of beautiful appearance. Children of the Almighty, and you should be of beautiful appearance. There's the second verse, it goes on, and it says, Ki am kodosh ato l'Adonai Elohecho, for you are a holy people to Hashem your God. And Hashem has chosen you to be for him, his own people, a dear people, more than of all the nations that are on the face of the ground. You've been chosen, and therefore you should know that you are holy, and you have to have the appearance of princes, perhaps even of kings. That must be your appearance. Another passage that I will be quoting is a passage that's taken from the Talmud. If a person eats in the street, his evidence cannot be accepted in a Beis Din, in a court of law. The Rambam paskens that people who have no self-respect are not, their evidence is unacceptable. You see what that means. Then there is a law in the Torah that if one finds something, one can only return it if the person who claims it gives a sign that convinces the finder that it belongs to the claimant. However, a Talmid Chacham, if he says, I can't give you any sign, all I can tell you is it's a wallet, and it's just where many people have claimed it, they put it in, said it's a wallet, all I can tell you is that it was brown, I don't remember how much money there was in it, I don't remember the order of the notes, what kind of notes they were, I've got no sign that I can give you. Then the finder shows it to the Talmid Chacham, and if the Talmid Chacham says, I recognize it is mine, he is believed. The next passage, also from the Gemara, a person should measure himself as if holiness is within him. Based on a verse from Hosea, which I shall deal with, Bikir b'cho kodesh, right in you, right deep within you, there is that which is holy. Rabbi Yochanan, by the way, I should have told you that the theme of my shiur this afternoon is self-esteem. The next one is La'olam Yomud Odom Atzmat Ilukodesh Shorei December. So come up to that. Now, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said to his disciples, he prayed, may it be the will of God that the fear of heaven should be equal as the fear of man. And in surprise, his disciples asked him, but surely the fear of God should be greater than the fear of man. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai answered, when a man does a transgression, does something wrong, he says, may no one see me. Shall no hear an yodom. May no one see me. And but God sees him. So if there would be anybody watching, he wouldn't do it. But God is watching. So it means that the fear of man is greater than the fear of God. I pray that the fear of God should be as great with you as the fear of man. Then there are two passages from the Midrash. I am going to read it and translate it to you, and both these are important passages because in the course of the Shir I shall analyze them. It says in Proverbs, there's a verse in Proverbs, Domeo Nafsho Ish Chose, literally, a man who is a man of consideration does good to himself. Does good to his soul. The Vilna Gaon says Ish Chosed is a man that has reached the stage of piety. Now there are degrees. There is a degree of cleanness, and after cleanness there is a degree of being a tzaddik, of being righteous. And after that there is a degree of being tohor, of being pure. And then there is a degree of chassidus. Got nothing to do with chassidus that finds all over the place today. Chassidus, and that is piety. And if a person reaches the stage of piety, he does good to himself. Here is the example that is given. The Midrash says, Zehilei Lazoke, if you want to know who a Ish Chosed is, a man like that, that is the old Hillel, Hillel the Elder. So this was said at the time when he was already well, well advanced in years. Shebesho sheho yonifta mitam midov ho yo mahalech barulech imom. When Hillel, the old Hillel, took leave of his disciples, he walked, and he walked with them. I'm translating it literally, because all this is very important. Of course you should stop me immediately and say that we don't speak like that. He walked and walked with them. One says he walked with them. But it says here he walked and he walked with them. We don't know the meaning of it yet. Said his disciples to him, our master, where are you going? He said to them, to do a mitzvah. I am walking in order to reach a destination where I shall be performing a good deed. They said to him, and may we ask what this good deed is? Said he to them, to take a bath in the bathhouse. They said to him, is this a good deed? He said to them, there is set up in the open spaces before theaters and circuses in the large cities, in the capitals, statues of the king. And there is appointed a man who supervises that these statues are always in good condition and are always clean. And he who is put over them washes them and scrubs them. And not only that, but he is also given a salary for what he does. I, who was created, the Tselem Udmus, in the image and in the likeness of God, because it is written, he made man in the image of God. How much more so must I look after that image? And a second midrash, also on the same subject, again with Hillel HaZaken, this is the Ish Chesed, who does good to his own soul. Again, when he took leave of his disciples, he was walking, he walked, and he walked together with them. Said his disciples to him, Master, where are you going? He said to them, to do kindness with a guest who is in my home. Said they to him, is this guest with you every day in your home? He said to them, this solitary soul, isn't it a guest in my body? Today it is here, and tomorrow it is gone. Now, those are the references that I shall deal with in the course of my share today. As I told you, the subject is self-esteem. And we start off with a verse in the Torah which is a commandment. It's a serious commandment, and the Gemara devotes pages and pages to the discussion of this commandment. You are children to Hashem your God. You shall not cut your flesh, nor shall you make broad flat patches on your head. And Rashi says, Lepisha atem bonim shel mokom, v'atem ru'uyim li'yosno'im, because you are children to the Almighty. And it is only proper that you shall be of good appearance, of beautiful appearance. That is a description of whom the Jew is and what is expected of him. And that is the beginning of his self-esteem. Now, we find only too often today that when one is dealing with an individual, or an individual deals with himself, or he goes to a psychiatrist, or the scientist speaks about man, one finds that man is reduced to something lowly. He is descended from the beast. He has all the beastly instincts in him. They are always there. They are responsible for his motivation. We do it exactly the opposite way. Man is created in the image of God. There is something that is godly in him. There is something that is divine in him. It is to that that he must always aspire. And the first thing he must know is who he is, from where he comes. And he is a child of the Almighty, created in the image of God. Now the reason why today people find everything that is lowly in them, and it's excused because after all we are descended from the beast, it makes no difference. The reason for that is that man is composed of two parts. There is the earthly in him, the mundane, and there is the heavenly in him, the divine. There is his body, which is from the dust of the earth, and there is his soul, which comes from the Almighty, from the seat of the Almighty himself. And so there are these two parts in man. And we have discussed on various occasions why it is imperative, not only necessary, but why it is imperative that there should be these two parts, and why there is the continual struggle. But what we want the Jew to know, and what the Torah demands that he knows, is that he is Boni Matem Lashem Lekechem, that you are children of the Almighty, and also, Ba'atem Ru'uyu Li Yosnoi, and it is desirable that you should be of good appearance, of beautiful appearance. Now, if that applies to one's physical appearance, how much more so does it apply to one's character? If that is what the Torah demands of one's physical appearance, then I can understand to what extent it is required of the character of man, how the character of man must be something that is good, that must be something that is presentable, must be something that is beautiful. There is, and for that it is necessary that he should know who he is and that he should respect himself. Now the din in the Gemara is that if a person eats in the street, chews gum in the street, walks down to the street chewing gum, comes into shul chewing gum, sits at the shir chewing gum, a person like that, his evidence cannot be accepted in the court of law. Why cannot his evidence be accepted in the court of law? It's possible that he's a Yorei Shamayim, he's a God-fearing man. It's possible that he's a learned man. So why shouldn't his evidence be accepted in a court of law? Now, the Baron Kotler gives an explanation for it, and I am paraphrasing what he says. And that is, you know, when one sits in front of greatness, not only is one dressed correctly, but in addition to that, one behaves oneself well. One is very careful what one does, and one is very careful what one says. To such an extent that on various occasions, I had the opportunity of going to see Reb Belvo Soloveitchik. I was much younger, and I never went. And when I met his son, and got to know his son very well, Reb Meir Soloveitchik asked me, he said, "Did you ever meet my father?" And I said, "No." And he said, "Why not?" I said, "I was too afraid to meet your father." So he understood immediately, and he said, "Nevertheless, you should have met him." And I'm sorry I didn't meet him. But I was afraid how one conducts oneself in the presence of such greatness that I didn't go to see him. It's very important to realize that a person must know his own greatness. He is Boni Matim Lashem Elokechem. You are children to the Almighty. You've been created in the image of God. There is this holiness in you. Can you do anything wrong, knowing that it is wrong, deliberately, wickedly? I can't do it out of self-respect. I can't do it if I realize who I am. If I wouldn't do it in the presence of greatness, how can I do it in my own presence? Therefore, if a person goes down the street eating or chewing gum, a person like that doesn't respect himself. He does wrong, and he does something that's unworthy of him. So won't he give false evidence also? What prevents the deterrent to giving false evidence is, how can I possibly do such a thing, to give false evidence? I know who I am. I cannot descend to that. But if he eats in the street, then he hasn't got that feeling. He hasn't got that self-esteem. He hasn't got that self-respect. He is a person who can give false evidence. And consequently, and similarly, the Gemara says that if the claimant of a lost article is a Talmid Chochom, now Talmid Chochom is a very great title that we give to a person. A person can be a Chochom, which is a title. He is a wise man, he is a Chochom. But it is never as great as a Talmid Chochom. A Talmid Chochom means that at one and the same time, he is a Chochom, he is wise and learned, and he is a Talmid, he is always learning from somebody else. And that is the greatest Madreiko, to be a Talmid Chochom, to be a Ben Torah, to be a Talmid Chochom. And if a man is a Talmid Chochom, and he comes, and he says, I cannot give you any sign, I cannot give you any description beyond that which I've given you, and you say it's unsatisfactory because there are other people who have given similar descriptions, if you show it to me, I will tell you whether it's mine or not. And the finder shows it to him and he says, yes, it is mine, you give it to him. Why? Because he's a Talmid Chochom. And what is the question one must ask immediately on that?
How do you know? How do you believe it? What's the characteristics of the Talmud Chochom?
Exactly. How do I know if it's a Talmud Chochom? So I ask him, are you a Talmud Chochom? Yes. And he says, yes. So what does that mean?
Yes.
But he's not a Talmud Chochom. Now I know he's not a Talmud Chochom. So I can't give it to him. How do I know that he's a Talmud Chochom? The Gemara says a remarkable thing. The Gemara says that a Talmud Chochom is a person, Zeha Makbid al Chaluko Lohofcha. He has put on his t-shirt that he wears under his shirt, and he's put it on and the seams show. Or he puts on his shirt and it's inside out. The seams show on outside. Or he's put on any garment and he's put it on upside down and he's in a hurry. He will take it off and put it on the right side. That's a Talmid Chochom. That is a person whom you can trust. If he says, it is mine, I recognize it is mine, you can trust him. Why can you trust a person like that? He has respect for himself. He knows who he is. He can't go out into the street like that. He can't go dressed in a way that is undignified. That is Boni Matim Lashem Elokechem. And Rashi says, Vatem Ru'uyim Liyos No'im. You should be presentable. You should be presentable. You should be good looking. You should be beautiful. He knows who he is. But if he can go out in the street not dressed properly, that means he doesn't know that. He doesn't live up to that. Then he's not ashamed to do something wrong. And the idea is to be ashamed of oneself. And that is already a great mistake. The Gemara tells us that one of the ways of knowing whether a person is a Jew or not, today it's so difficult to know whether a person is a Jew or not. Don't know what's happened. Don't know what's happened in the family, where there's been intermarriage without any proper conversion. Is he a Jew? Isn't he a Jew? One of the ways in which you can tell whether he's a Jew is not, has he got a sense of shame? And a sense of shame. There are 3 degrees in a sense of shame. One can be ashamed of another person. Already worth something. Person's ashamed. One can be ashamed of oneself. That is a much greater degree. That I cannot do it. After all, I'm ashamed of myself. And I have explained to you on another occasion that in the Torah, any commandment that is bein odom lachaver, that is a commandment between man and man, is at one and the same time a commandment bein odom leatzmo, between man and man. If one is not allowed to kill another person, one is not allowed to kill oneself. And for exactly the same reason. You can't kill another person because his life has been given to him by Hashem. You can't take it away. One cannot kill oneself because his life has been given to him by Hashem. Can't take it away. And throughout one's life, one goes about that one is oneself, and at the same time, one is also responsible for, shall I say, oneself, or one's soul. And it's if it is 2 entities. And so a person is ashamed of himself. He's ashamed of his soul. He's ashamed of his greatness. Now when Yochanan ben Zakkai said to his disciples, as a blessing to them in the form of a prayer, and in their presence he prays to the Almighty before his death, that my parting blessing to you is, may the fear of heaven be to you as great as the fear you have for a human being. When they said, not greater than that, he said, may it be as great as that. You will, a deterrent to do something is, if somebody is looking and you won't do it. And yet God is looking all the time and can see it all the time, and that is not a deterrent. I pray that the fear of heaven be as great a deterrent as the fear of man. And what he really means is that fear that you have of yourself when you know who you are, what the human being is, cannot do that wrong. That is what is required. And if a person hasn't got that respect for himself, doesn't know who he really is, then it's not a deterrent to doing wrong, and you can't rely on his evidence. It affects another person. His evidence affects another person. That is not a deterrent from his telling something that isn't true. Now, the Gemara says, it's necessary for a man to the words that the Gemara uses is to measure himself. That is, to measure himself, to weigh himself. We call that a chelpon hanefes. Man must make, he must audit his deeds, his life, what he does, what he has been doing. And the Gemara says that when he does that, he must do it as if there is holiness that lives within him, that is centered within him. And it is taken from a verse in Hosea, where Hashem says, I will not execute the fierceness of my anger, I will not return to destroy Ephraim, that is Israel, for I am God, not man, the Holy One in the midst of thee, the Kilbechor Kodesh, I am the Holy One in the midst of thee. And the Gemara takes that. That is who the human being is. And when he measures himself and he weighs himself and he looks at himself in the mirror, adjusting his tie, because after all, one should be presentable, one should be beautiful, and he looks at himself, let him know that there is Kodesh, that there is the Holy One, blessed be he, is in him. And when the tabernacle was erected in the wilderness, and God says to the people, the Osu li Mikdosh, you shall make a sanctuary for me, the Shochanti b'Selchom, and one would expect God to say that I may dwell in its midst. He says that I may dwell in their midst. They shall make a sanctuary for me that I may dwell in their midst. But Socho shall call Echod ve'Echod, in the midst of every single one of you. And so, that is the human being. That there is the divine, there is holiness in every single one of us. How can one do wrong? In the presence of all that. Now, there is a verse in others that is very often misunderstood. Do not be a rosho in front of yourself. It's translated in your own eyes, and it doesn't say that. It says, don't be wicked in front of yourself. Don't do anything wrong in your own presence. That's what it means. Don't do anything wrong in your own presence. You in front of greatness. Don't do anything wrong. You're careful what you say, what you do. Don't do anything wrong. There's a very fine person in Johannesburg. With a very great friend of mine. He was a good bit older than I am. And he helped me a tremendous amount. He was religious but non-observant. Didn't keep Shabbos. And he used to ride in his motor car on Shabbos. And it happened once that I was walking to shul and he was driving in his motor car smoking a cigarette. And as soon as he saw me, he threw the cigarette out of the motor car. That he didn't want. Threw it out of the motor car. Passed me riding in the car. Didn't greet me. Couldn't do it. Couldn't face that. He's one of the big lights in South African Jewry. An outstanding person. Couldn't do it. The next degree is you can't do it because of yourself, not because of the other person. I'll take his rosh before. Don't do wrong in your own presence. Know who you are. How can you do it? Every single individual is another individual vis-a-vis himself. And that is life. Now, there are these two midrashim. And what I propose doing today is teaching you how to approach a midrash. It will stand you in good stead. The midrash opens with a text. The text is Gomer Nafsho Ish Chosen, a man who is really pious will do good to his own soul. That means he does good to his own self. And the Midrash says, this is Hillel HaZoken, the old Hillel. Shebeshosh Yonifta Mitalmido Bo Yomahalich Veholechimo. When he took his leave of his disciples, he was walking and walked together with them. Now, can you see how strange an expression it is? And in a midrash, every word and every expression has a meaning. He was mahalech vahulech imom. He walked and he walked together with them. Who walks faster? The old Hillel or the young disciples? Who walked faster? No question. The young disciples. So he was walking, and he was walking not at random. You could see he was walking, and he was keeping up with them. So if he's walking and he's keeping up with them, then there's no question that not only is he walking in order to reach a destination, but that destination is very important. So they say to him, our master, Lehechon ato holech, where are you walking? They see he's keeping up with them and he's walking together with them at their pace. Where are you walking? Is it an impertinence? They've got a reason to ask. We can see that you are walking for some purpose, to some purpose. What is it? We want to know so that we can learn. And he says to them, I'm walking like this because I'm going to perform a mitzvah. I'm going to perform a good deed. But just look what a master is. He doesn't give them the full answer. I'm going to perform a good deed. Omru levechim ma mitzvah zu, and may we know what is the good deed. He said to them, I am going to bathe in the bathhouse. Going to have a bath. And in those days, they didn't have baths in every home. Not like Ozone Avenue or Ozone Street, where they have several bathrooms. I took my wife once to London. Took her several times. My wife was in love with London, who wanted me to get a position in London, and positions were offered. And I wanted to persuade her that London on holiday is not London in residence. And so I took her for a walk through the beautiful St. John's Wood area. And we walked down St. John's Wood Road. And I came to a block of apartments. Flat they are called there. And I said, just let us go in. And there was the ugly plumbing all outside. And I said, well, what do you think of this entrance? My wife said, no, this is the back entrance. I said, right, let us go through the front entrance. Mm-hmm. We went round the back and my wife wanted to come back and we said, no, that is quite right. This is the front entrance. And we are looking around. And there comes, I wanted her to see how people live in London. Not everybody, but this is St. John's Wood. At that, a lady came up to us and said, can I help you? He said, no, we're just looking around. You know this place. She said, yes, I live here. And my wife said, how many rules are there? Rules, but I want to make my point. And she says, we've got two bedrooms, and we've got a dining room, and we've got a kitchen. My wife says, and a pantry. She says, no, we haven't got a pantry, we've got cupboards. So I chirp in at this stage, and I said, and a bathroom. She said, no, we haven't got a bathroom. But that's all I wanted to hear. My wife said, no bathroom. How can you live without a bathroom? And now she pulled herself up to her full height, and she said, not only I, but my husband and our three children have lived here without a bathroom. And my wife said, how did you manage? She said, we take a tub into the kitchen and we scrub ourselves and we scrub the children. Now, I knew there was no bathroom. How did I know? Because two blocks lower down, in big writing, I saw bathhouse. And I knew, it says bathhouse there, it means that there are homes here that haven't got bathrooms. Rabbi Hillel Azoke is walking to the bathhouse. They said to him, and is this a mitzvah? He said to them, now he makes what is known a kal vachomer. If statues of kings that are set up in the open spaces, in the squares, before theaters and before circuses, there is a person appointed to look after them, and he scrubs them, he washes them, and he scrubs them. And not only does he receive a salary for it, but he gets a ministerial post for this. Minister of Recreation, of Parks, Estates, whatever it is, he still receives. He says, I, who am created in the image and the likeness of Hashem, because it says, for in the image of God he made man, how much more so? How much more so must I look after myself, scrub myself, wash myself? That is how he saw it. And he sees he is the ikunyon shel HaKodesh Baruch Hu, statue of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And he says, how much more so? Now, how much more so is a kal vachomer? How much more so? If the statues of the king that are set up in the open spaces before theaters and circuses have a special person appointed to them, and he washes and he scrubs these statues, how much more so must I wash and scrub myself? And what is the kal vachomer? Just let us see on how many levels. First of all, the statue of the king, is it something real or isn't that something real? And the soul of man in the body of man, is it real or isn't it real? How much more so does it apply here? The statue, where is it to be found? Frowned upon. Not a place where the Talmud Chacham goes. And in those places, they scrub it. If it is in my body, given to me by God, how much more so? And after all, that is the likeness of flesh and blood. Mine is the likeness of the Almighty. How much more so does it apply to? Now, what I've done with you is I've given you an analysis of the Midrash. Given you the analysis of it. But what is the point? How he looks after his body. It's too presentable. And he knows if that applies to his body, how much more so to his soul? How much more so? And then the Midrash continues and gives another example. also the same verse. This is Hillel, the old Hillel, that when he took leave of his student, he was walking, and he was walking together with them. He was walking because he was going to some definite place, but he was walking with them, keeping up with them. They said to him, "Our teacher, tell us, where are you going?" Now this is another time of the day when he's already been to the bathhouse and he's in a hurry. He said to them, "I am going to," I'm paraphrasing it, "I'm going to extend hospitality to a guest in my home." Said they to him, "Is there this guest in your home every day? Because you do this every day, you walk in this place every day." He said to him, "Hadei nafsho alufto, love achsan yohiba gogufo." This solitary and lonely soul, is it not a guest within me, in my body? Today it is here, tomorrow it is no longer here. And I will extend hospitality to it. I want to feed it. That is how it looked upon me. And finally, there is the other verse, Urah there. And finally, before Hashem gives the Torah to the Am Yisrael, he says, "You have seen what I have done." Oh, by the way, there's one thing I've got to point out to you. When the Hillel HaZokein is answering his students, and he says to them that the statue of the king, just look how it is cared for. Surely I must care for my body. Ki betzelem Elohim oso esu hodom, because he made man in the image of God. There are two verses in the Torah. The one is at the beginning of the Torah, in the first chapter of Bereshit. Vayivro Elohim esu hodom betzalmo, betzelem Elohim boro oso. God created man in his image. In the image of God he created him. One verse in the Torah. A second verse in the Torah, in the ninth chapter I think it is, when Hashem is speaking to Noah, Ki betzelem Elohim oso es odom, because God made man in the image of God. Which is the greater verse? And God created man in his image. In his own image he created him. Verse 1, verse 8, verse 2, verse B. God made man in the image of God. Which is the greater verse? The first or the second? I can't hear. Just listen to it. And God created man in his image. In the image of God he created him. That's the first verse. The next verse is, for he made man in the image of God.
First verse.
Why?
It uses instead of your
son. Oh, pardon?
It uses create instead of make form.
Create instead of make. The first one is good. So why does it, first of all, why does the Midrash use what appears to be the lesser verse? And why does the second verse, why does it use the word made instead of create? You see, what a person could say is, the first man was created in the image of God. He's a handiwork of God. Wasn't born of woman. God took him and created him. You could say he was created in the image of God, but afterwards he might not be in the image of God anymore. everlasting knows, always knows, then he made man. All seed created this. Then every man is made in the image of God. And now finally, before the Torah is given...
So, have you answered the question?
Pardon?
So, according to that, which is the better?
It's just it's a question of, in order to make the point. Because if he said the first verse, you could say, well, that applies only to the first man. The first man was created in the image of God because God created him. But afterwards, it was a replica. No, it's a duplication. The difference between a replica and a duplication. It's not a replica, it's a duplication.
And the answer to your question, you posed the question, which the answer is entirely clear.
The first one is the greater verse. It is the source of it all. But the second one tells us that goes down for all time. Well, it didn't apply only. And he uses preferably the second verse in order, I must know. Not that only the first man was like that. Every man is like that, and I am like that. Got it? And finally, it says, Hashem says, you have seen what I have done to Egypt, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words, and then he goes on, gives the Ten Commandments. And Rashi says, nothing more and nothing less than a holy kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And now I can give you the Torah. Can't give the Torah unless one has achieved, one has acquired that quality of knowing that there is holiness in each one of them. When they knew that, they were fully convinced of it, and their life was lived in accordance with that, then Eliyahu put it, now you are ready to receive the Torah. And that is the self-esteem that is required by the Torah of every Jew. Realize, and Israel Asher Bechol Israel, Hashem says, Israel, it is through you that I am glorified. Covet, honor and glory. Honor and glory means that the person is living in an environment which is in accordance with his honor and with his glory. And that is what we strive in the world for. And that is the purpose of the Jew. To create a world in which God's divine presence can be. And it can only be where it is and in an environment of godliness. And that is the idea of the Kaddish prayer, and that is the idea of the Olam. But the point that I'm making to you this year is that of self-esteem. What is the self-esteem that is required of every Jew according to the Torah? Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.